A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
It's Thursday the 9th of July, and A Word for Today is presently looking at Mark chapter 1. And we have thus far seen that Mark is presenting a gospel. It's very important to understand this because it means that he is not presenting chronological history. He's not presenting a biography of Jesus. He is actually presenting the gospel, the message of good news. And it means that what we're getting is a structured teaching package with the material very carefully and brilliantly arranged, not necessarily chronologically, in order to teach us the message of good news from God. We've seen it is a message about the forgiveness of sins. It's such an important thing to keep in mind. That's in verse 4. And we've seen that Jesus Christ, the first thing we see him doing in Mark's gospel is undergoing the baptism of a sinner, the baptism of a repentance for the forgiveness of sins, something of which his Father in heaven approves, because it is the mission for which he came. Jesus is there symbolically prefiguring the death he will die for sinners. And that death is at the heart of the gospel. We saw too that his ministry is a ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit. And we saw yesterday that in Galilee, according to fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies, that gospel of God was first proclaimed by Jesus. You know, the world has never recovered from what happened in verse 14, when Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. And we saw yesterday that he is saying the time is fulfilled, meaning that everything that the Old Testament pointed to, the Old Testament scriptures, has now come to pass in me, says Jesus, in the Messiah, in the Christ, in the one God promised he would send to save his people. And he says, went on to say, the kingdom of God is at hand. That is to say, the people of God, the church, is now being formed invisibly as people repent and believe. And that's what Jesus presents, indeed, what he commands as the response to the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, what is the sign of a commitment to the gospel? And what the next story tells us is this. The sign of commitment to the gospel is discipleship. That's why the first preaching of the gospel is immediately followed by the calling of the first disciples. It wasn't necessarily the thing that next happened, but it's presented here to teach us that discipleship is the response to the gospel, the authentic response to the gospel. So I'm now going to read from verse 16 through to verse 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat, mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Now we're so used to this story that it seems perhaps unremarkable. And yet I want to show you now that it is a very strange story indeed. Imagine that you and I were standing by the Sea of Galilee in those days, and you were telling me which rabbi, that's just the Jewish word for teacher, spiritual teacher, which rabbi you decided to follow. And you could have said to me, well, you know, I really like Rabbi Jacob because he's a brilliant teacher. Did you hear his sermon last week on the prophet Jeremiah? It was absolutely outstanding. I've decided I'm going to follow him. And I might reply to you and say, well, actually, have you not heard Rabbi Samuel? He is also a brilliant teacher, but what's more important, he is a wonderful family man. He's a very kind and gentle character. I've decided I'm going to follow him. Now, you see what's happened. We're just doing what disciples down the ages have always done. They choose who they follow. Being a disciple is the choice of the disciple. But here in the story that Jesus in Mark's Gospel, we see it's absolutely back to front. Jesus does what no person has ever done in history. He appoints his disciples. They don't choose to follow him. He commands them to follow him. It is a display of remarkable authority. We're going to see further displays of this as we continue in chapter 1. Jesus is here displaying authority over human will. He goes up to these men, and they are not sitting around looking for something to do. They are gainfully employed in business. And he says, in effect, drop what you're doing, stop doing that, and follow me. In the case of James and John, they were part of a family enterprise with hired men. And immediately, they drop everything and follow him. That is really strange and demonstrates an extraordinary authority of Jesus. Actually, what it demonstrates, perhaps above all, is the doctrine of election, which is that we do not choose God, but rather that God chooses us. Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel, you did not choose me, but I chose you. It's a very humbling thing, isn't it? He's just reminding them that they didn't make the noble choice and decide to choose Jesus. No, no, he chose them and called them. That's because God is sovereign in salvation. Salvation is for the glory of God and is therefore necessarily the sovereign work of God. And what we see in these verses is that sovereignty in effect. Jesus calling his disciples. But I'd also like you to notice what it is he calls them to do. He says in verse 17, follow me, that's what it means to be a disciple, and I will make you become fishers of men. You see, he doesn't tell them to be fishers of men. He tells them to follow him, and he will make them to become fishers of men. What Jesus is doing is taking them right to the end purpose of their discipleship, which is to be fishers of men. If you were to flip back just one page in your Bible and look at the Great Commission of Jesus at the end of Matthew's Gospel, we see that the risen Jesus there commands every disciple until the end of time to go, therefore, this is Matthew 28, verse 19, and make disciples of all nations. That's the command of Jesus. It is a command to every member, making disciple makers ministry. And that's the ministry to which Jesus calls these fishermen. They are to become fishers of men. So he didn't just say, follow me, and later on I will let you know what it is you're going to do. He puts it right there in the first sentence, in that very sentence where he commands discipleship, he tells them why. And there is surely a lesson there for the Christian church today, isn't there? The self-perpetuating work of the Christian church is to be makers of disciple makers. Making disciple makers is not the work of the church leader. The church leader is there to equip the church for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, the church. That is the job of the pastor teacher to do that. But the job of the church is to become fishers of men. And that hasn't changed in those 2,000 years since Jesus first called his disciples. That is still the task of discipleship, to be fishers of men by following Jesus. We can never detach discipleship, faithful, godly discipleship, from being makers of disciple makers. And that is the work of the church. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this great picture that discipleship is the authentic response to the gospel. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to be faithful disciples of your dear Son. We pray that those who are not yet disciples of the Lord Jesus would be marvelously drawn to him as we look at this teaching. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.